Good evening, everyone. Blessed to be here tonight and encouraged with your presence this evening. It's a beautiful afternoon, and we were able to have time together as a team, a mission team. We're excited about that. Continue to pray for the team. We have done so much with preparation and singing and everything that's needed for the mission team. Have you ever experienced waking up one day and feeling so low, discouraged, like heavy, dry, like there's no energy? There are moments in our life where we have a lot of energy, especially when we're young, but there's also times in our lives we feel like you roll out of bed and you're drained, your energy is not there, your passion is not there, your life is not there anymore. Not that you're dead, but it seems like there's just no energy at all. You're dead in some sense. You know, it's when you look down into your soul and you feel like your life has no meaning. Now, I'm not just speaking to us here tonight, but also those that are watching online, because I know that there's moments in our lives where up in the mountains, up in the peaks, and there's also valleys in our lives. And I feel like there's moments when we roll out of our bed and we don't have that energy. I sometimes wonder, when I'm in that situation, you know, why am I in this position right now? What did I do yesterday, last week, this month? Why did I end up in this position of lowness, like discouragement, brokenness? And I want to move forward, but there's no easy way for me to get out of that circle, that cycle of life, you know, that feeling stuck. My life, at times, in those moments, I feel like it's worthless. And it's as if I look at the angles of my life, and it seems that everything is, to some degree, it's dead. My finances is declining, my strength is declining, my wisdom is declining, my vision is declining, my relationship is declining, my energy is declining. So, to some degree, it feels like there's no life, so it's dead. It's dead. Everywhere you look, there's just evidence of death, emptiness, and loneliness. And how I miss those days where I have the energy to just roll out of bed and be full of life. When I turned, let me put it this way, a couple of months ago, I got up with a pain on my foot. That's the first time I experienced it. I didn't do anything to it. I just woke up and has that pain. And later I found out it's called bunionet. It's a fancy term for arthritis. So I have arthritis on my foot. But when I look at myself, I feel like I'm not really that old to experience those kinds of pain. I mean, I feel and look like I'm still young, you know. I'm still full of life. But it's a reminder to us that there are moments when you wake up and it's like, It's you're there, you're old, you know. Actually, in the Bible, there's a person like that. He is Ezekiel. So we'll go to Ezekiel this evening and look at his life. Now, let's remember that Ezekiel was called in a time of turmoil. Babylon was the empire at that time, and they went to Judah multiple times, actually three times. And whenever they go to Judah, they would take Israelites out of Judah and turn them into slaves in Babylon. So he was taken to Babylon at this point in his life. And while he was there, the spirit of the Israelites that were in Babylon, that were captives, was just very, very low. They've been there for many years, for 70 years, and it seems like there's no end to their enslavement. That they're going to die there. And if you know Israel, they're not a big fan of dying in foreign land. They'd rather die in their own country, in their homeland. And it's the same for most of us, right? We want to be buried where our family are, where our roots are. And the same thing happened with these people called Israel or Israelites. So Ezekiel was there and he saw the spirit of the Israelites that were in Babylon. Some were dead and some were still alive, but that generation, there was just a level of lawlessness. Their feeling, discouragement is very persistent. It's evident everywhere he goes. So in in Ezekiel chapter 37, this is what happened. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. He was full of bones. So this is the vision that he experienced in the midst of discouragement, of loneliness, of brokenness, of emptiness of the people that were in Babylon. He had this vision, and this vision is about a valley that is full of bones. And that vision is about death. You know, that vision of bones is a vision of death. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor, valley bones. Bones that were very dry, and these bones were not just bones. His bones, according to him, in his vision, were very dry. Meaning that even the slightest indication of hope is gone in this valley. There's no hint, there's no drop of hope in this valley. It's just all about deadness, death. And as human beings, that's what we feel most of the time when we look at our lives. Feel like there's emptiness, brokenness, loneliness, there's just death. This is especially true when we turn on the TV and you see this news of killing in this part of the world, war here, school shooting over there. Just those kinds of things brings a lot of discouragement. And as Christians, sometimes we get into this habit of feeling like the world as well, like, oh goodness, there's no chance for a better world, seems to us. It's just all brokenness. The feeling that they felt is the same kind of feeling that we feel today. And so God said to him, Son of man, can these bones live? It's a tough question. God asked Ezekiel, the prophet, this question. And you have to wonder, God, is this a tricky question? Are you trying to test me right now? Because God said, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, from a human carnal perspective, whenever we see something that is dead, we view that and we conclude, and rightly so, as dead. It means there's no hope. And regardless of how many times you do CPR, regardless of how good you are at resuscitating things or persons, there's just no hope in reviving persons that are dead. Because they're dead. That's from our human carnal perspective. So most likely when God asks you that question, can these bones live? Our answer would be no. There is no hope, no slightest chance of hope for the dead things to come to life. And when we view our life from that human carnal perspective, with all the things that is happening in this world, we can say the same thing. God, there is no hope. God, there is only death here. Dead things are all around me. There is no chance for renewal, for new things to happen. Then God said in verse 4, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So this is what God says. These dry things, these dead things that you see everywhere scattered, littered in this valley, I will turn them into living things. Speak and I will bring life. Speak and I will bring life into these dead things. Now, Ezekiel, actually, his name means God strengthens. So this is a very interesting story because his name represents God's presence in their midst. Because he's the one that provides them strength. He's the one that provides them a vision. And here they are in this foreign land without any indication of hope in themselves. Any indication of a future in themselves. But God is presenting himself through Ezekiel. He's saying through Ezekiel, look, my name is a reminder that I am here. I'm going to provide you strength. I'm going to provide you a vision. So, in this story, Ezekiel prophesied to the bones, and the bones came together. I don't know where those bones are scattered, but it seems like the bones just flew together, and the hip socket joined the other hip socket, and the tendons came together, and the flesh. And from bones, dead things, it became a person. But here's another problem. That person, even though it was standing, it wasn't yet moving. So it prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise. Rattling sound, the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. So it was in one piece. The arms, the head, the feet are all connected, but there was no movement. Then he said to me, verse 9, prophesy to breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breath into this slain, and they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered into them, and they came to life, and stood up on their feet, a vast army. It's a very interesting but also powerful story of God making these things come to life. Now, the dead things here, the death that we see in this picture is actually a representation, is a sign of the mental state, of the spiritual state, of the emotional state of the Israelites. In their mind, there is no hope. In their mind, there's only dead things and death in their surroundings, in their lives. So, we ask the question, do we see the same things that the Israelites felt and saw today with all the things that are happening around us? Do we see the same things that the Israelites saw that is happening around us today? And if we do, I think we need to have a new vision so that we can see life instead of death. So that we can see hope instead of hopelessness. In our current situation, I think we need to view this world based on how God views things. Because, you see, what people see is very limited. They only see what we can see in front of us. We don't see the next 10 years, the next 20 years. But God sees things beyond our vision, beyond our sight, and he's able to provide us a better perspective about life. And he sees not only about what we see, what we miss to see beyond 20 years or 30 years, he also sees life behind death. Life behind death. Isn't that the reason why God sent Jesus on the cross? So that through him we can have life even after death. We can have a future even after we pass from this world. So there's a couple of things here that I would like to kind of dwell on. One is that God is the author of life. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I would like to focus on that word that says life. You know, life is not just about breathing 24/7. Life is having that relationship with God. Because what we see here, even if you live like 90 years old or 110 years old, that's just the temporal life. Life is about being with God from eternity to eternity. That's life. And so Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, even if we have all the things that the world describes as life, like material things, like having your job, having the hobbies probably, those are not things that provide us life when God is not in our context, not in our relationship, when he's excluded from our relationship. The second thing that I would like for us to dwell on is God is the only one who can turn things around, even the most hopeless situation. Even the most hopeless situation, God is the one that can turn things around. He is the only one. There is no other one. He is the only one. But the tendency for us as human beings is to shortcut God's ways. Our tendency is to shortcut God's ways. For example, we feel like God is working slow on his promise of coming back. So our tendency is to depend on other power. Like arms, like military, like science, like technology. Even though he promised that I will return, I will make this world better, our tendency is, well, God, it seems like it's taking you longer, so I'm gonna depend on these other things that I feel like will make your promises faster. I'm gonna depend on policy, I'm gonna depend on guns, I'm gonna depend on these laws, I'm gonna depend on this nation, I'm gonna depend on this source, on this power. That is shortcutting God's way of making things happen. And the next thing that I would like for us to dwell on is that you are not done until God says so. You are not done until God says so. We see this all over the scriptures, where people seems like they are done with their life. For example, Abraham, he thought that there would be no hope for him to have a child, this promised child of God, because he was already old. But in the bigger picture of things, God says that you're done only until he says that you're done. So going back to the picture of Abraham, even though he was late in his life, he was very old, he still was able to provide a child because God promises him so. And so when we look from that perspective, even though our situation can, from some other perspective, can seem like it's hopeless, it's not really hopeless. It's not really hopeless because God is the gear, is the will behind our situation. He can make our situation better because he is the one that says, no, that's not the end of your story. No, that's not the end of your era. No, that's not the end of your time. Like these dry bones, I can bring life into them. So the valley of dry bones, I think, is a metaphor for us today. It was a vision to Ezekiel, but it is a metaphor for us today. A metaphor that regardless of our situation, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we feel, regardless of all the indications that points at some death or some negativity or some brokenness, there is going to be life. This world can be better. A couple of Sundays ago, Eric spoke about, it was during a college class, he spoke about some who believes that this world is hopeless. He's referring to people who, even though they profess as Christians, their view of the world is that this world is hopeless. And he says that is a mistake to view it that way. The world is not hopeless. Because as long as there is a church and there are Christians, I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said, but as long as there is a church and there are Christians, we are the source of hope. We are the source of life to this world. We are the source of this newness that this world needs. I don't know where you are in this story, and I don't know what kind of imaginations that you have about this Valley of Dry Bones, because it's a very interesting story, powerful story. But I think there's one point that we need to remember here. There is this one person that stands in all the things that's happening, and that person is God. That person is God. So whether you're the person that feels like your life is so dry right now, you feel like that dry bones, or whether you're that person that is full of life, physically but spiritually dead, or whether you view the world as dead because of the immoral things that is happening in this world, there is that one person that stands in all of this, and that person is God. And when we pull ourselves together and believe in this vision, believe in this person, believe in God, and he can bring life into dead things. In the last section of this story, I said in verse 11, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. It's a promise, by the way. It's a promise to Israel. And they have taken this to heart, and to this day they have held on to this promise that they will be restored to Israel one day. And they are, to some degree, restored to Israel. But in a spiritual sense, this is more than about geographical promises of God. This is about us bringing, God bringing us into heaven. That spiritual Israel, the spiritual Canaan, the spiritual promised land. This is about that. That there is this place where we can all go and be one with our Creator, be one with God. And I think that God is keeping that promise. Because whenever I look at the cross, there's an evidence there that He is truthful to His promise, because He sent His Son Jesus on the cross, to die on the cross. So I can anchor my hope in this story that Jesus, that God, through Jesus, will bring me one day to this promised land. Not the geographical Israel, but to this spiritual Israel, which is heaven. Because there are things that I see in the Bible that tells me Jesus is the way to the Father. So, this week, I hope that you remember this story, especially with things that you will see on TV, the internet, Facebook, wherever social media platforms that you will be on. And remember that this world will always be crazy, because there's always going to be brokenness here. And we will never find our hope, our peace, in whatever means that this world will offer. Because we will only find that in God, in Jesus Christ. That is the only one that can provide us with this peace and with this life that the Bible talks about since the book of Genesis until the book of Revelation. So remember this story, that God can turn things around, because He is the one that has the control. He is the source of life. If you have any spiritual need this evening and you would like to be prayed over, or if there's anybody that's watching and would like to sit down with the ministers, we would love to do that for you. Let's all stand and sing the invitation song.